We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
Who remembers Trevor Lawrence?
Me!
Who remembers being outside last year to welcome Trevor Lawrence to the Jazz? Well, guess what? He didn't forget you either.
I chose Long Branch Elementary. Big reason was because those kids were some of the first people to greet me when I got to Jacksonville.
You all are going to be designing the shoes that Trevor Lawrence is going to wear in the football game. How do you all feel about that? Audis has a very rich history as pertains to the arts, whether it's visual or musical. So having this experience and being able to express themselves makes a world of difference for our students. Our students absolutely love Trevor Lawrence, and they love being a part of this experience with the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence.
That was special to me, and then just seeing some of the adversity that some of those kids go through, and just the positivity and the smiles and their attitude all the time, it's pretty special. Man, I love these shoes so much. I'm super excited to wear them. I'm so excited that I even got a surprise coming for you guys. Got some new pairs of Adidas shoes for all you guys that help make these, and a pizza party. So I just want to thank you guys for everything you do.
Trevor Lawrence, thank you for these awesome shoes, man.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, David Garrard, and E to the T.
E, why you got to go and play that when we got to rip them for the next 2 hours?
Hey,
huh?
Let's start out good, but then we can Geronimo.
Anybody remember Trevor Lawrence? Don't ask that to the end zone, because the end zone does not remember Trevor Lawrence. It has been a while. I guess he did throw one against Atlanta, but that is one in five games in terms of touchdown passes. I guess we'll begin there, because that's the theme he started us off on today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, David Garrard, ET here with you. Good morning, gentlemen. What's up, Tony? How are you?
I'm doing all right.
DG?
I was going to try to do the whole show in this lounge position, because that's the way I felt like my Jaguars are playing. So I'm like really relaxed right now and just, you know, kind of
like Snoop Dogg. Laid back.
Laid back. There you go. That's how they played. They were with Snoop Dogg the night before.
I will say my opinion at this moment in time, and we're fortunate, Tony and I are much bigger fans of the National Football League than we are of college. We don't have to sit around waiting for a committee to tell us who gets in the postseason. All right. But if we did have a committee, we would be the last team picked. Okay. right now at this moment, Detroit's a better football team than Jacksonville is. They simply are. I mean, they should not be a favorite over anybody on a neutral field. Not that it matters. They're going to play the games out regardless. But I think we're watching, clearly, in my opinion, at the moment, the worst team in the National Football League.
Yeah, even though they don't have but one win and a tie, I believe.
Right. And so, hey, don't give up on that number one overall pick again, kids. One more win by Detroit,
yeah,
and we're ahead of them.
That's crazy.
In that race.
Well, you know, they seem to play a more competitive brand of football, even though they haven't been winning. We haven't been winning, of course, but it just seems like they don't spiral out of control like we do. They don't go through games where they don't look competent. You know,
they probably have a few, because we don't watch them week in, week out, but it's not, you're right. There are a lot. They've had a couple last second field goal losses,
yeah,
including the Baltimore on a league record kick, mm-hmm, of 66 yards. They tied Pittsburgh. They obviously beat Minnesota yesterday.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, but this is just not the conversation you really want to be having.
No, it's not at all, right? I mean, look, and guess what? You get to measure yourself against the other worst,
right,
teams, Tony.
As here Houston are the ways the where we are not as,
yeah,
bad as Detroit.
I mean, right? Like,
this is where we're at.
That's where they are. Maybe,
yeah.
Is there a quarterback in the draft we should be interested in? No, never mind. Kidding. Joking. It's a joke. I mean, the point being, even if you get the number one pick this year, there's, yeah, not that. It's not like, wow, you have to have the number one pick this year. I mean, it may turn out that way, right? Maybe Hutchinson or Thibodeau, or Thibodeau or Hutchinson turns out to be the, mm-hmm, clear best prize in this draft. But we're getting close. Buffalo wins tonight. It's official.
I'm not sure what the scenario is.
I would rather talk about that than recap the game. Let's just jump right into it.
Gonna have to wait till tomorrow. Y'all come back tomorrow.
All right, I'm in
tomorrow. We got rules, David. We got rules.
Back in on Tuesday. Week. Checking the tape with
Jeff Blogman. Why not? All right, here was Urban Meyer yesterday. On how has this become a freaking saga? James Robinson lays it on the ground. James Robinson goes to the bench. James Robinson doesn't get heard from for a good long while. What about James Robinson's absence after the fumble, Urban Meyer?
He's still not 100%. He's not practicing during the week. You know, James is as good a guy, a team player as you got that I've ever been around. And your heart bleeds for the guy. Just, you know, he's not able to do what he does well. And that's he hasn't been that way since Seattle. And he's not able to practice, but he wants to play, and he's, you know, he's still a very good player. And then he just got to take care of the ball.
Okay, obviously, he's got to take care of the ball. Nobody's saying it's excusable. He can't be fumbling, you know. Mm-hmm. Two and two games is too many. We get that. We'll get to the other fumbles in this game in a moment. This was Urban Meyer with our man Mike DiRocco talking about the absence and Hyde. He also had some fumble issues yesterday, and how did Urban respond to this?
Yeah, he was. We're just giving Carlos an opportunity, and then obviously we failed there as well. Where the ball went on the ground.
But Carlos also had the fumble late in the game too. Back on the field the next drive, so I'm just wondering if there was no, if it wasn't a benching, it was just all help with Robinson.
You'd have to ask Coach Parmalee. You know, that's. I don't get too involved. Like I said, I don't micromanage that, you know. And I know he's been dinged up, so I don't know if he's back with the tent or what's going on. But I know there's injury involved.
Okay, so injury involved. First of all, I don't know what's going on with that. What in the world? I mean, how many times are we going to keep getting this answer that I don't know what's going on with my football team, with my arguably best player on that entire side of the ball? Now, I don't know what's going on with him. So injury involved. In terms of his absence, E.T., it's the return today of the 10-10 take, so let's get one in early.
10-10. This 10-10 take is brought to you by Honest Abe Roofing, the reliable roofer that gives you a quote, not just an estimate.
All right, James Robinson is too injured to play, Dave. He shouldn't be playing, right? Or, you know, if he is gutting it out and you get what you can while the game's still within reach, totally understandable. If he's in and out of the game, you're trying to manage it. What the hell is he doing getting carries in a 30-point blowout on the last drive of the game in these circumstances when you know he's not healthy and he still outperformed Carlos Hyde? I mean, it wasn't spectacular for either of them, but he gimped out 3 yards a carry. Carlos Hyde had his typical 2.7, and James Robinson's out there getting carries on the last drive of the game. How can you explain that?
You know, it's really unexplainable. I'm not even sure why. My thought is I don't think they look at James Robinson the same way we look at him. I think they see him as just a guy. He's a good football player, but when he fumbles, hey, you're not my guy. I didn't pick you to be on this team. And I'm telling you guys, coaches, they think that way. I'm not saying that this is exactly what's happening, but coaches definitely think, well, you're not really my guy. We didn't really give you the ball to start the season off. We should have been giving you the ball, and it took us about 4 or 5 games before we figured that out. But now you're fumbling the ball. This puts you back on the bench. Although Carlos Hyde can fumble the ball and be right back in the game. So if it's an injury thing, yeah. If the game's still close enough, you want to keep him out there and let him get some shots. But as the game went on and you realized you weren't going to, you know, you had no chance of winning, well, then we shouldn't have you out there if you're truly injured. So I'm not sure.
No one is at this point. And it's just one area that's easy to focus in on, you know, because.
Well, it's a pretty glaring area.
Exactly.
You know,
it's not the, look, if James Robinson had played the entire game or not played at all, it would not have mattered yesterday. But I mean, Tony, we're just trying
it's
to get
it's indicative of other problems, right? Like, it just feels indicative of other things that are going on with this football team. We talked about it early in the season. They couldn't recognize, like, the coaches on that staff couldn't recognize that James Robinson was their best option for offense for this football team. Commit to him during a game, and let's see what it looks like if we give Trevor Lawrence a running game, because it's certainly apparent that James Robinson can give him that when he's healthy. And then in these last 3-4 weeks, when he's trying to play through an injury, the way that they've treated this whole thing, it just, they're begging the question, and then the coach steps to the podium and just says, I can't answer that question. Ask a running back coach that no one has access to. Right? Like, it's a ridiculous system that they have going on down there, and it does all just feel like it's indicative of how out of sorts the organization is.
Miles
right now.
Jack as well. They kept giving him the green dot on his helmet, and then we're like, he doesn't play as good with that. Oh, we're going to go do a deep dive, and they will figure out.
We'll figure that out a month into the season, what we're doing here. I mean, it just, again, continues to feel like they haven't figured anything out. And I get it. Look, they're challenged personnel-wise. Get Urban Meyer's in charge of the whole kit and caboodle, buddy, all right? I mean, you telling me that he's not in charge of Travis Etienne being selected in the draft, or Tyson Campbell, or any of these guys being selected in the draft. And I'm not picking on the selection of Etienne. I mean, the guy gets hurt, you can't help that, right? But what would they be, 8-5 if Travis Etienne was healthy? Nope. Don't believe that would be the case. Nope. So, or whatever, 8-4 if he were healthy. All right. I lose the math gets difficult.
I wish it was 5
here. One less to go?
Yeah,
I hear you. I hear you. All right, but there are plenty still to go for the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you would like to react today to the 37-7 loss at the hands of the L.A. Rams, whatever your thoughts are, you're welcome to bring them to the table at 641-1010 on the phone lines or on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Hit us up on Twitter today, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at DavidGerard9. Or at IME to the T.
Come on, somebody.
And once again, another postmortem on a disappointing Jaguar performance yesterday. Dug themselves a 10-point hole before you could practically sit down and crack open a cold one, man. I mean, just unbelievably shoddy play right from the opening kickoff. But we'll discuss it today because we are contractually obligated to do
that.
It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I don't think they're wildly organized. I don't think they've had a great plan from the beginning. They don't seem like super organized. And some of that might just be a feeling, and maybe I'm just getting worn out like everybody else. That's what it feels like. We're not a good football team. I don't even know how to say it. I mean, sometimes you look back and you're like, how do we win 2 games?
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That was Tony Boselli. Breakfast with Boselli every Monday on the drill here on 1010XL. I was asking the same thing in the postgame, Tony. Yeah. How the hell did they beat Miami, who's now won 5 in a row?
Slider play.
I mean, it just goes they to almost, show you the week-in, week-out nature of the league.
Yeah, talking about the organization, too. Like, just how disorganized they feel. They almost blew even the opportunity to run the slider play. And we talked about it after they finished that game against Miami. It's like, whew. They got a little bit lucky, like they left themselves just enough time to even run that play, but they were all over the place.
They were trying to snatch a loss out of the hands of victory.
At least an opportunity at a victory, but that is one of the two they got. And against Buffalo, they just absolutely manhandled that team through the entirety of that game. They forced 3 turnovers in a game. How the heck did this team force 3 turnovers in a football game? But that's what it took for them to win 9-6.
But I will say, I know defense, there's a lot of points on the board. I didn't feel when that game started that defense was playing poorly. I just felt like the offense was not coming around. They went down and scored 1 touchdown, so you felt like, okay, now we got a little bit of a battle on our hands. But then they never did anything else after that. So the defense is like,
and they had the ball in position to do something. Like,
midfield. Yeah, I know.
Look, you give up a huge opening kickoff. They give up 1 first down, and it's a field goal. So if that's just like a normal kickoff, they've got it at their own 30. Yep. Okay, it's 1 first down, punt. And then you fumble the ball, and they have a 27-yard touchdown drive. So it's 10-0. Mm-hmm. The game is almost over at that point. I mean, you can't think that way if you're the Jags, obviously. But for all intents and purposes, they go down, they score, they're there, and they have the ball at times in the first half with a chance to take a lead despite the fact that they started so poorly and they can't get out of their own shadow.
Yeah, and as someone pointed out on the text line, that it was pretty good strategy on that opening kick for the Jaguars to have that big return. It prevented the 20-play, 15-minute drive.
Maybe.
like that kind of thing. So maybe it was just good foresight, just get it out of the way quickly. and we'll get on with this football game. No, there's not a whole lot good going on in Jacksonville right now.
All right, to the phones we go. It's 641-1010. Can't wait to see what your reaction is to the Jags' 30-point loss. Two games, by the way, were decided by 20 points or more in the NFL.
Oh, only
this
two.
Week. Yes, just two. Indy shut out Houston, who, by the way, manhandled you in the opener this year, and the Jags lost by 30.
You mean every week getting treated like Alabama, Mississippi State in the NFL?
Every week you do play Alabama, not everyone shows up as Mississippi State, however.
Right.
Let's go to the phones at 641-1010 and start with Kenny on the west side this morning. Good morning, Kenny.
Hey, everybody. As always, love the show. Yesterday, as I was watching the game, I just had an observation of the Kenyan-sized gap of talent between us and the Rams. Now, granted, the Rams have any receiver that we would love on our team, but you also notice the professional catches that the Rams receivers make. You have Stafford, who has a strong arm as anybody in the league. His passes aren't always on target, but they go down that shoelace level to get the ball or reach behind them. And Trevor does need to work on accuracy. That's not to absolve him of anything, but there used to be a rule of if it hits your hands, it's yours. And I don't think our receivers, just comparably to the Rams receivers, feel like the ball is there when it's in their general area. And that's just one of the major observations I saw yesterday in today's game. And I'll take your comments off air.
All right, Kenny, thank you. Look, our receivers are not as good as the Rams receivers.
No.
So,
no.
Right? I mean, they're not
even close.
We'll start there.
Yeah,
right.
But they are professionals, right?
Yes, they are.
And that's the job. The ball gets thrown to you. You get your hands on it. You catch it. You know, like, that's the job. And it does. You'll watch other games around the league. And again, we're so focused in on the Jaguars game every week. We have Red Zone on in the studio, whatever, when we're watching the game. So we see the highlight plays, basically, throughout the day in the league. But you sit down to watch Sunday Night Football. We'll watch Monday Night Football tonight. And you'll watch professional receivers make professional plays. And you're just comparing that to what you see from Jacksonville, where you do have guys where the ball's hitting their hands and then hitting the ground four or five times a game. You just can't have it, especially on a team where the margin is so thin.
Well, they
have to have all those plays.
You're right. And I think about it like this. What other teams are going to would take any of our receivers, like, over their receivers? What receiver is going to leave this team and go shine somewhere else? They might as a third or fourth receiver, because they've got so many talented other receivers that you are, like, feeding off of the them getting double teamed and you're open. Now, I was happy to see Laquon Treadwell go out there and play because he's a big physical receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also another one of those receivers that wasn't he on the practice squad for a while?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that means anybody could have really come and got him, I guess.
Sure.
And nobody.
He's the hardest working man in the NFL. Kicked around the league for a while. What's that, E?
He's the hardest working man in the league.
That's right.
Well, according to head coach Urban Meyer, at least no one works harder than Laquon.
And
that may be the case.
And that's nice, but we need you to work hard as you're going into the end zone.
A journeyman, former, first round pick who's never done much in the league, shouldn't be the top guy in your rotation 2 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But look, we get it. It's not. I feel like
they are where they are.
You got to say it all. It's everything. It's the play. It's the talent level. It's those guys not getting the most out of their talent. It's the coaching. It's the scheme. It's the everything.
Well, and yesterday I finally looked at the scheme. Well, I didn't finally look at it, but I was like, let me pay attention to what plays are being called and what's happening. It's 4th and 1. And I'm like, oh, they didn't leave the huddle and go to a spread formation. It's 4th and 1. Why are we not quarterback sneak or some kind of power up the middle? So we try to throw a pass to the tight end with Ramsey right there, and he's like, not today.
Yeah, not. I mean, it seemed like everything, Dave, in the second half, they knew, like, A, why are you even bothering with play action, right? Because, I mean, come on. You're not. I mean, go ahead. Hand it off, right? Like, we don't care.
We'll stand right here and we'll still get a tackle for a
loss. We'll stand right here. You're not going to get more than 3 yards, okay? So you got that. They know they don't have any speed, so nobody can stretch a field. So they're jumping every route at 5 yards. And they're breaking up a bunch of passes. And the ones they are catching, it's like Marvin Jones is a guy, like, hanging all over him. Like, what are you doing here, man?
How many shots did we take
yesterday? I don't remember any.
And not a one. I don't remember one shot. Just hey, take off, and I'm going to just throw a deep ball to you. I don't remember one.
Just throw it up to Laquon Treadwell. He's tall. Maybe he'll out-jump somebody. You know, you're not going to run past him, apparently. But
so, look, you want to talk about creativity and your passing game and that kind of stuff. Did you see the one where Stafford rolled out? And I feel like he rolled the wrong way, but then he got over there and turned
rolled
back.
Rolled left, turned back to
the
right.
And
yeah,
so, and hit that cup throw, down the field.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah.
But just the creativity, because that is a play where you're supposed to be thrown to everybody on that same side of the field. Mm-hmm. You never throw across your body.
No.
But they designed it like that, and I'm like, see, that's just being creative because you got those guys. You got a guy that already has 100 catches on the season. Sheesh.
And a guy with an arm like Stafford.
Yes.
Like, there's not, even in the NFL, there aren't a whole lot of quarterbacks that can roll left and throw all the way back right across the field 30 yards downfield. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
All right. Back to the lines we go. Richard on the south side. You're next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, fellas. Hey, I want to talk about something that I normally don't hear on talk radio, especially sports, and that is this organization, and I felt this way for a long time, really does not have leadership at the top, and primarily I'm talking about Shad Khan. I think Shad Khan is not an NFL guy. He's a soccer guy. I think he's an absentee owner. I think he delegates everything out. He thinks he can throw money at stuff, and it's going to get solved. I don't think he has a clue as to how an NFL organization should run. And so he picks incompetent leadership. And so I don't hear that being discussed very often. Maybe that's taboo. I don't know. But I think, really, guys, I think if this thing is really going to change, we need a different owner, and that's not really going to happen. So I'll take your comments off the air.
Well, it sounds like you've given up that it'll ever change then. I mean, because you're not going to make Shad Khan sell the team. I think there are plenty of absentee owners in professional sports.
Plenty.
And it works fine. You know, you have to hire the right people. Here's what I'll say about Shad Khan. I don't think he wants to lose. I don't think anybody that is that – anybody who can build a company from the ground up and become a multi-billionaire is a competitive so-and-so, in my opinion, okay? You don't get to the heights he's reached without being competitive. So do I think it burns him up that they lose? I personally do. Is he trying to hire the wrong people? I don't think so. You know, he went out and it wouldn't have been my choice, but I can understand why you'd be enamored with it. Here's Urban Meyer, one of the great college coaches of this generation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we tried different other avenues and it hasn't worked. Let's try this avenue. And now, so far, it looks like a major catastrophe is where it's headed. And, you know, that goes to the front office and the procurement of players. And look, he came in, he fired Mike Mularkey after 1 year.
Yep.
Then he tried to be patient and reset the whole organization with Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell. Is probably too patient with that. He tried bringing in Tom. He's tried a bunch of different things.
Yeah, hadn't worked.
Yeah. Except for one season, none of it's worked.
Yeah.
Right? Does that, to me, mean that he is just an absentee guy who doesn't care? What do you want him to do exactly?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, do you want him to personally get involved with the day-to-day decisions of the football team? I don't. You know,
no,
I don't,
that's not what your owner.
I don't think most owners have
doing,
any business doing that, quite frankly. And
most owners aren't football people. They're businessmen that have made a lot of money, and they own a football team, and they try to put the people in the right position to make their organization thrive and to be successful. So that's what his job to me is, provide the money so that we can go out and get the best talent, get the best coaches, get all those kind of things, because the coaches are the ones that affect the players. The owner isn't going to affect the player. Your GM can have some influence on the guys too, but it ain't the owner.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw Weaver and Dolores. I never saw them like in the
huddling
locker room. They didn't come into the meeting rooms and say, "Well, what are we working on today? Oh, third downs. Oh, you know what? I got some thoughts on your third down plays here."
Look, I mean, ultimately, I think Shad Khan has waited too long to make moves at times. Yeah. I mean, I think Doug Marrone got two more years than he should have, mm-hmm. quite frankly, and. You know, obviously Gus Bradley extended on, and Gus was, you know, we all love Gus as a guy, but terrible head coach, one of the statistically worst in league history. So, you know, do I have any confidence that he is going to make quick and bold and decisive moves with this group here? No, I don't. No. Certainly, I mean, I don't know what you, when you hear it's taboo, maybe that's in your own mind. We don't restrict anybody from talking about much of anything as long as they, you know, don't go over certain, you know, boundaries of, yeah, of how you present things, you know, and you're
talent,
welcome,
man,
to criticize
that's,
the
that's
owner.
What you need here is talent.
Absolutely need talent. Let's get Nathan in Orange County, California, checking in next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Nathan.
Hey, good morning, guys. First off, I want to thank you for doing this show every day. I'm a Jacksonville transplant out here in California, and so I listen to you every day when I drive to work. And I sure do miss the days of Dave and MJD, what's been going on. But anyway, that aside, went to the game yesterday. It was cool to see there's plenty of Jaguar fans actually out here at the game compared to what I thought there would be. A lot of Duval going on in the parking lot, which was sort of inspiring in the beginning in the first half. And then, you know, as you know, everything kind of went downhill from there. But even the Rams fans around me, you know, my kids and I are all wearing Jaguar gear, and they keep asking me, why isn't James Robinson in the game? They're asking me, what are your thoughts? What's going on with Urban Meyer? Do you think he's a good coach? And it's like, even people outside of Jacksonville in other teams, in other organizations, their fan base, they can't believe what's going on either. And they don't even hear about him every day and listen and talk about it like we do with our family and friends. And it's almost to me like now it's a nationwide joke. We've been kind of bad for a long time, obviously, but now being at a game in another stadium, I try and go to all of them when the Jags come to California out here. And it's kind of embarrassing when other teams' fans are calling out our personnel stuff. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. It was good to see Jags fans out here. Fun to go to a game, even though we got blown out. And thanks for doing your show, guys.
Thanks. All right, thank you. Appreciate it, Nathan. I don't know what to add to that, yeah, really. But, you know, when you're getting beaten down, we had a guy call up last night on the post game, said he was upset with the announcers because I forget the exact phrasing.
Get well.
Yeah, it was a get well game. They kept, mm-hmm, saying it was a get well game for the Rams.
Yeah.
It is, right? They're
clearly
not. They're not doing it to,
yeah,
like in 2017, you didn't hear that. Because, no, you were good and you were dangerous and people recognized it and people were like, wow, this is a team that's really on the come here. Look out. But when you've lost 10 games now in 10 of 11 seasons, you are a get well franchise. Yep. I mean, teams see you on the schedule and they're like, damn, at least we've got a win coming up now. And for the most part, they've all been right.
Yeah. Every team is going to do that when they're playing a team that's struggling. You're going to think, okay, I can get some things going here. I can see that I can pass the ball. We can run the ball. Defense should be able to get after them. I mean, you just know and feel it. Now you get out there, and for some reason this weekend they play a little bit different, but still, that is a game that you would circle and say, okay, we've been struggling here of late, but we're going to turn it around this weekend.
This is not a case of the media picking on Jacksonville. This is a fair characterization of who they are. That's, yeah, just who they are. It's them having a set of eyes and ears and recognizing what's happening. I mean, they are a get-well game right now. You know, we look at teams like Atlanta. Atlanta should have been a get-well game for the Jags.
Yeah.
You know, but they were able to win that football game, and they're not very good.
If you don't want to be a get-well game, then play better.
Play
and
better.
Win.
Win. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. All right. We'll get back to your calls here coming up in a moment at 641-1010. Continue to send your thoughts on Twitter as well. Your reaction Monday. God bless you, Jaguar fans, who care enough to call this program. And even if it's just to vent a little bit or exhibit a little frustration, man, because they are lucky to have you, because they certainly have not returned the favor very often over the last decade.
Hey, that last caller
plus
is going to all the games whenever they go to California, even in the way they play.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he said there was a bunch of
absolutely
Duval till we die attitude in the,
yep,
parking lot. You know,
yep, that's really cool.
That is really cool. You know, imagine if they actually gave you a reason to
now
be
that
enthusiastic.
That would be even cooler.
That would be pretty cool. Hey, that'd be pretty cool. All right, we'll come back. More of your thoughts on a reaction Monday coming up. It's Jaguars Today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
We as a Jaguar fan, me as a Jaguar fan since 1996, is about tired of this. Nobody seems to care about winning on this team, and it needs to.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Somebody check in on Saqib today, please.
Yeah. An hour isn't enough for Saqib to come down.
No, no.
You guys get 15 minutes before the media used to walk in the locker room. An hour after the game is not enough for Saqib to get down.
I love Saqib, but he's funny because he'll be like, guys, I'm going to be positive, Mr. Positive from now on. He makes those declarations.
Oh, we had that wonderful. He was smack talking all those Bills fans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Guys, I'm fine. It's good. We've turned the corner.
Yeah.
And look what's around the corner. Freaking speeding truck coming right at you.
Oh, no, it's Michael Myers.
641-1010. Let's go to Steve in Melbourne next up here on a Reaction Monday on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Okay, what's up?
Oh, man, so much frustration. I just need Chubb kind of going his $100 million yacht, take a long look in the mirror and say, I got it wrong. And Joe Brady got fired yesterday, and we all know the Panthers' problem. They didn't have a quarterback. We actually have a quarterback. It's just everything else doesn't seem to work. Play calling, we have lack of personnel. But yet Bevel still has a job. I don't get it. I don't know why Bevel is still here. His play call is suspect in big-time moments, like that fourth and one, and for some odd reason you're going in the gun for a quick pass on Jalen Ramsey. Are you serious? I mean, This is lunacy going on right now in Jacksonville.
All right. Thanks, Steve. I think they're two separate issues. Shad Khan is not going to fire the offensive coordinator, and nor should you want him to step in and do that. But if you're just talking about why does Daryl Bevel have a job, I mean, we had a reporter on from the Panthers on one of my shows on Saturday on Sirius, and he said Joe Brady basically hanging on by a thread, and so is Matt Rhule. And which surprised me because I didn't realize.
Wow.
And he really he nailed it because Joe Brady didn't make it out of the weekend with a job. This guy was the hot guy. I mean, it would not have surprised me at all had he gotten head coaching looks this past off season because he was seen as like this meteoric riser. If you're looking for the next young guy, brilliant offensive mind, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Here we are, two-thirds of another season in.
And they started off well, too.
They did start off well. And as many have pointed out, he didn't trade for Sam Darnold. He didn't pick up his fifth-year option. He didn't sign Cam off the street after so many other teams had passed on him and expect him to save the franchise. He didn't make Christian McCaffrey get hurt. All these circumstances. Now, there may be things where he's just not getting the most out of the talent there. You know, I don't follow Carolina. We don't follow them as closely as we follow Jacksonville. Look, Urban Meyer wanted to fire the offensive coordinator. That's well within his purview. You know, I don't know how much it's going to change this team for the better at this point. That seems to me, hey, Matt Rhule is getting heat. And rather than go down with the ship, let me fire a coordinator here. And that kind of puts the onus on him. And that was what it was.
Put it on somebody else,
man. You
got to
give me more than 5 weeks to show them that was what it was. So, like,
I'm
going to
get the heat off myself.
My feeling is that's Matt Rhule basically saying, hey, rather than me, I'm going to have to fire somebody else. So it looks like we're doing something around here. I don't think Urban feels that pressure. I don't know what Urban feels, honestly, but I'm just trying to guess.
Was it Teddy Bridgewater when he was leaving Carolina last year? He was talking about practice with Joe Brady and the Panthers offense, and I think he was talking about we didn't practice 2 minute, we didn't practice red zone. We might walk through it once a week.
Wow.
Maybe we would spend 2 minutes on it, you know, during the week, but then everything else, like we didn't take live reps on red zone or, and it was like, what?
That's crazy.
Like, if that's really what's going on there, but it might explain some of the issues they're having.
Maybe it does. I don't know. Look, coaches get fired all the time. And we said, somebody asked me last week, point blank, if things don't improve, should they clean house? Yes. I don't care if it's been 1 year.
Yeah.
If it continues, but I'm willing to let the last 5 weeks play out at this point. You know, for some people, I need it done immediately. Okay, well, why now? Why not when they were 0-4? Why not, you know, last week? Is now the tipping point? I mean, I don't, like, let's say you did fire Urban Meyer today. All right, what is that going to do? I mean,
they're still going to be running the same stuff.
And what, I mean, I don't know if this is a good enough reason to not do it immediately, but if Urban Meyer gets 12 games – when he's one of the most ballyhooed coaches in modern times, right? At any level, then the next guy coming in is going to go, wait a minute, why would I want that job? I don't have anywhere near the clout of Urban Meyer. He was handed the keys to the entire organization. They're going to run him out before he even gets to complete a season. Well, you know, why should I go there? That place is a train wreck.
Yep.
You know, again, you don't keep a guy who's not doing the job because you're afraid of what the next guy is going to do or not do. At least I don't think ultimately. But look, let's see what these next five games bring out or don't bring out. And I'll make my assessment then because I don't really feel like, I mean, well, I think it would make you feel good in the moment. Like Shad Khan sweeps in, shows he cares. I'm passionate and fiery and Urban. You're out of here. This is not good enough for the city of Jacksonville and the fan base. And okay, the dust settles and then what?
Darryl Bevell, you're now the
or Joe Cullen or whatever. I mean, Joe Cullen has never been a coordinator until this year is now. You know, and while granted, I agree with you, Dave. The defense started out playing better. Ultimately, they gave up 37 points in the game. So it's not like they're playing this great level of football. It's only in comparison to the Jaguars' offense, to me, that they look good.
Very true. That is very well said because you're right. They're playing like a competent group at times where when you see the offense come out there, you're like, they really stink. And so you're comparing our defense to our offense, and they still gave up 37.
Right. Is the defense better than the offense? Yes.
Yeah.
Is that enough? Debatable. Let's go to Ed on the South Side. Next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. I'm going to make this kind of short and sweet. My personal thoughts are we need to relax a little bit. Nobody can do wonders in the first year. I think I'm going to use this as numbers. 7 people short on offense and maybe 4 on defense. If we give Trevor 2 more seconds, the whole team will be a lot better off. And if we take away 2 seconds on the defense quarterback, then our whole team will turn around, but nothing's going to happen in the first year. We don't have the players.
Okay. That's certainly you're entitled to that point of view.
Yeah,
it's not
2
an
seconds
invalid
is
one.
A bit of an exaggeration, I think.
Huge exaggeration.
But get the point. Yeah. That they got to block better.
Yeah,
they got to get the
5
quarterback
seconds
better,
back
yeah.
there to
yeah.
throw the ball.
But, okay, so Trevor Lawrence can stand back there and watch and who's getting open in that time period.
Yeah, he said 7, so I guess there was 2 guys on the offensive line and he was using the rest of them as skill players.
I get he's saying we need, like, 7 more ballers, yeah. I think, is what he's saying, right? So, yeah, we got Trevor.
I guess James Robinson.
Do we have James Robinson?
He's here.
In and out, and maybe a couple of those.
Well, you add ETN. I think you definitely add some much better skill players, young guys, some vet guys. Maybe you do use some on the offensive line as well, defensive line. I mean, it just the list just keeps growing. It's like, oh my gosh, there's not that many guys you can let go and then bring in to replenish all of them. You know, you're going to have to still play with a lot of these same guys.
Here, let's by the way, you know, you can't turn it around overnight, okay? Nope. But here's your draft class. Trevor Lawrence, right? Nobody's going to dispute that he should be the number one pick, right? Mm-hmm. But he's struggling, to be sure. Travis Etienne, you got nothing out of. Not your fault. Tyson Campbell, man, we get all excited when he has a 3 pass breakup, 1 interception day, like he's the second coming of Deion Sanders because we have so little to grasp that's positive, right? Walker Little can't see the field. Andre Sisco can't see the field. Jay Tufele is getting pancaked yesterday, 3-4 yards past the line of scrimmage near the goal line. Jordan Smith hasn't been active this year. Luke Farrell, he's got a great family. And Jalen Camp didn't make the team. So that's the rookies that this brain trust has injected into your roster. How many years of that will it take? 30 at that pace till we are competitive? I mean, you can't. Nobody is expecting. Nobody's saying they should be 12-5 this season. And they should be a deep playoff run team. I mean, we have. But you're getting progressively worse as the season goes along. At some point, show some improvement in something. And at times, they have a little bit, like we talked about with the defense, we get all excited because when you compare it to the offense, well, it's a little bit better, right? And we get, oh, well, they had that one game where they held Buffalo down to 6 points. That was really great, right? And I mean, it's just so little. It's like grasping at straws because that's all they're giving you right now.
Well, I think Tony was talking about in Crosstalk is they're not getting better. They're getting worse. And every week we turn the TV on thinking, okay, this is the week I feel like we might get some good positive play here and have a chance to win this ball game. And it's 37-7 at the end of the ball game. Every week we psych ourselves to hype ourselves up just for them to come out and not give us anything. They gave us one touchdown drive where they looked competent, and then that was it. It.
That's it.
I mean, it was like three and outs, and we're not on the same page, so we're off the field again. There wasn't even any other drives to be like
– nothing.
I mean, we didn't even have a chance to kick for a field goal.
We're talking on the post game, like, we've got to get way past the point where we're like, remember that one good drive?
Yeah.
Remember those three good plays we had in a row?
We're back to Gabbert
like,
now.
Oh,
then,
my gosh.
If that's the case.
I mean, whew. All right.
Nobody wants to go there.
No. I tried to forget the fact that you said it. 641-1010 if you'd like to get in and give your reaction to the Jags' latest defeat, 37-7. At the hands of the Rams yesterday. Give your thoughts on where this team is headed or not headed. You're welcome to do that. You can also hit us up, of course, on our many Twitter handles. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, gems around the NFL. Brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Baltimore Ravens cornerback Marlon Humphrey suffered a shoulder injury that is feared to be a season ender for him. His head coach John Harbaugh cited the team's lack of depth at corner and in the secondary as to part of what went into his decision to go for two at the end of the game yesterday against Pittsburgh instead of kicking the extra point and trying to tie the game and get to overtime. Cincinnati quarterback Joe Burrow dislocated the pinky on his throwing hand. Burrow said after the game that he suffered the injury on a sack and fumble during the first quarter. Burrow did not wind up missing a snap, however, in the game. He also said that he is confident that he will be able to play this week. Washington fears that tight end Logan Thomas suffered a torn ACL and MCL yesterday. In all likelihood, Indianapolis Colts quarterback Carson Wentz played enough snaps yesterday to clinch, having played 75% of the team's offensive snaps on the season, which would mean that the Colts will be sending a first instead of a second-round pick to the Eagles in next year's NFL draft. The Carolina Panthers have fired offensive coordinator Joe Brady. Brady was in the middle of his second season as the Panthers' OC. Jeff Nixon will step in as the offensive coordinator for the rest of the year. Gardner Minshew got the start yesterday for the Eagles. He was 20 of 25 for 242 yards and two touchdowns and a win. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni said after the game that Jalen Hurts is still the starter when he is healthy enough to return. Week 13 in the NFL wraps up tonight with Monday Night Football, where first place in the AFC East is on the line with the 8-4 New England Patriots at the 7-4 Buffalo Bills. The two division rivals will play twice in the next 3 weeks, including tonight.
All right, thank you, Tony. That's your look around the National Football League. We continue to take a look around the Jacksonville Jaguars situation on a daily basis. It's okay. There are worse fates in life, and hopefully one day it'll turn around and we'll all have been the better for going through. Never mind. 641-1010. Let's go to the phones. Anthony in Long Island is next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Anthony.
You guys hear me?
We do. You're on the air.
Awesome. So you were talking about last year's draft, and I called to talk about James Robinson. Obviously, he's our best player. We don't have any speed, and I think, you know, maybe a little bit of eye formation will work a little bit better for us so we don't get so embarrassed. But when I see the Jaguars, it's like you guys say all the time, no speed. So you go back in the draft, and it's sad because it kind of makes you laugh a little bit. They never address it, and they haven't addressed it since DJ Chark's draft pick. And then you have 2019 where you take linebacker, tackle, tight end, safety, no receiver at all. And then you finally get a generational talent quarterback who really can't fail, and I know he's struggling, but obviously, you know, you see a lot of light at the end of the tunnel there. And you draft, I love Travis at the end. But there was people calling, and you guys always agreed, like, it wouldn't be the end of the world to have taken Trevor Lawrence and three receivers because we really wanted him to succeed. And now you look at him throwing at Jaden Mickens and Tavon Austin and LaVisca Chenault's just not too fast. And it's kind of the same thing that all the people that look at the Jaguars for the last 5 years have said, like, we don't have enough speed and Trevor Lawrence is not going to succeed here if we don't, you know, if we don't surround him with somebody.
All right, Anthony, appreciate it. Look, you don't have to like the pick of Travis Etienne. I'm not going to kill them for that because they had a vision of how they wanted to use him. We don't know how that would have worked, and he definitely brought speed to the table.
Yep.
I mean, Travis Etienne has take-it-to-the-house speed. DJ Chark has speed. Whatever you think about him as a player, the guy was averaging 22 yards a catch this year. Now, he only had 7 grabs, but 22 yards a catch, if you're slow, that's impossible to do. It's just not going to happen. So your two fastest players got hurt and out for the year, one before he ever played a snap. So I don't want to say they completely ignored the speed element. They had Chark in-house. If they had drafted three receivers and put them right at the top of the depth chart, people would have been complaining. Well, why didn't they? They had LaVisca Chenault. They had – why didn't they – they're just not using him right. Explain to us how they should use LaVisca Chenault right now and get anything. I don't know what – they tried lining him up in the backfield yesterday. They tried throwing it to him. He drops it. He doesn't have the speed to get deep on a consistent basis. Once in a while, he will. They refuse to run him on crossing routes with the notable exception last week, a 3rd and 22, Tony, which, surprise, surprise, worked.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a lot of issues, but I do think when you had a team with as many holes as they had, it wasn't like they just, hey, let's just fix the wide receiver problem. You know, they got to look down the line. You got to do a lot of things. You only have so many draft picks. Now, I would be more upset with the fact that the picks they have can't force their way on the field with a terrible football team. Why can't Andre Sisco get on the field? Don't understand that. But, you know, is Walker Little really a tackle of the future? I don't know. But if you don't feel like he's one of your best two protectors right now, I understand why he's not playing. Tyson Campbell has struggled a lot. Rookies often struggle a lot, but there's some talent there. But overall, they've gotten minimal impact out of their draft class. So if they had picked a bunch of guys at other positions than wide receiver, Dave, but they were flourishing, we'd say, okay, they had a lot of holes to fill. But they picked guys that are not flourishing. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, well, the Walker Little is just really confusing me. He's not even, like, dressing for the games, right?
No, he's active, I believe.
Is he?
He was not dressing early on, but he was on the COVID list early on.
Yeah. So he is out there. But he hasn't, you know, gotten any many snaps. They haven't said, hey, you know what, we're going to
play that one game when Cam got hurt in warm-ups.
Yeah, that one game.
Right. Like, no, I hear you.
You know, it's about time where you can start playing your younger guys to give them some of the –
But do you play a younger left tackle just to get him snaps if you don't see him in practice?
You're going to have to play him at some point.
Well, but what if in practice he's not showing you that he's better than one of
your other two tackles? That's what I'm saying. He's not showing that he's even capable of, hey, let's start giving him some snaps. He's not even showing that. So I think that's what is giving me pause. He's not showing anything, and clearly Cisco's not showing anything because they don't even – You can interchange safeties and give him reps during the game, but he's not even – I mean, I haven't even seen him out there. I'm sure he's gotten a few snaps, but he hasn't
Very
been out
little.
There. Well, we can talk about LaVisca. I think LaVisca's problem is he makes too many mental errors. Because you watched the game last week where he didn't – you know, he went too far. And then you watch this game, and he's running a shallow cross, and he sits down when he should still be running. Like, that's a read that the quarterback and the receiver are on the same page. If somebody attaches to you, you got to keep going and treat it like man. You can't just stop right there in front of the guy.
Talking about yesterday's play. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, so he's having too many of those moments, plus dropping the ball. Now we're trying to put you in the backfield to see if we can, you know, get a little bit of Deebo Samuel out of you, and it's just not working. And in our minds, we're like, just find ways to get him the ball. Where they're trying to find ways, but he's either not performing or making plays when he has the opportunity. Sometimes he does, which, you know, if you find a receiver and get the ball to him in open space, he should be able to. But he's not consistently doing it. He's not making the coaching staff say, we've got to get him the ball. He's just not doing it.
All right, we got to move along here. Let's go to Travis in St. Augustine next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Travis.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on. I'll be honest with you. I'm just calling to blow off some steam. I am tired. I've been a Jags fan since 95. I've gone to several away games, and I am just sick and tired of losing, okay? And I want to see these guys get out here and complain about it, okay? I want to see somebody get up here and tell us what they're going to do to turn this team around. Okay, we won one game last year, and yes, that got us Trevor. So I saw the light at the end of the tunnel there. But now we are a 2-win team. I was hoping to come in and win 4 or 5, and you know, kind of see a upward slant in the season or what have you. But I don't see us winning another game, guys. And it I'm telling you, it just sucks.
I'm not going to disagree, and I'd be hard pressed to pick them to win another game, Tony. Oh, yeah. You're not going to believe me when I say this. They could beat Tennessee. Tennessee, no Derrick Henry, no A.J. Brown, no Julio Jones. They should struggle to score just as much as Jacksonville does. But last week, they were able to run it down. Who they play last week? They posted they had 200-yard rushing games, two different backs, without Derrick Henry in there. And I imagine they're going to try to come in and beat up the Jags on the line of scrimmage, or the Jags are going to go into Nashville. You understand what I'm saying. And and that I would not expect them to win, but would I be shocked if they could win that football game because Tennessee could struggle to score? I wouldn't be shocked. But
if we don't struggle to score.
Well, that's the thing. But they beat the Bills 9-6. Like, could the Jags win a 13-10 game? I think they could. You know, I think it's possible because I think they have enough teams – that have struggled. You've got Houston, who just got shut out yesterday. Now, but I look back to the opener and say, what makes me think you're better than the team that whipped your tail in week one? You haven't gotten better. You might have for the first month. And that gave us some encouragement. Like, okay, the record's there, but we see the improved play on a week-to-week basis. And that's what we're looking for. If we were competing and losing because we truly felt it was one or two plays here or there – Dave, when you get beat down by 30 to a team that's lost 3 in a row and has been manhandled physically in those 3 games, and they shove it down your throat with Sony Michel yesterday? Come on, man.
Bad business, man. I mean, yeah. Like we said earlier, we're just looking for, and now it's clearly more the offense, to just show some improvement, man. As this season winds down, we need to feel good about something. And unfortunately, we don't have much to feel good about.
No, not right now. The Tennessee Titans have scored 13 points in back-to-back weeks before they had their bye this week. They scored 13 in a 22-13 loss against Houston 3 weeks ago now. And last week against the New England Patriots, they scored 13 in a 36-13 loss. Mm.
So it's gettable.
So they're not scoring.
No.
No. But now, New England's playing really good defense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Houston's not.
No.
You know, I mean, that's a team that is – but will you be surprised if they beat the Jags 27-10 next week? I will not. But
get well game.
So I've heard. You know, I mean, but seriously, the Jets, Houston, Tennessee, though, if you told most teams that they've got those three teams on their schedule with the current state of affairs, they'd be like, man, we can really get rolling heading into the postseason here. Let's go to Mike on the north side, and then we'll take a quick timeout. Mike, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, sir?
What's up?
How y'all doing, man? Hey, listen, I was calling. Basically, one of my biggest issues with the whole scenario is a lot like when we started it off with Shad Khan, he made the fatal mistake of him being a rookie owner, hiring a rookie coach with a rookie quarterback. Now, in this state of influx, we're right back with a rookie coach and a rookie quarterback. And my point is, at some point, we got to get to the point where we need a guide when we get these young guys instead of this disarray that we see. And then at the end of it all, you turn around and say these guys are bust. You have talent hidden throughout the roster, but it's you're incapable of seeing that because, number one, I was never crazy about Daryl Bevel as our offensive coordinator. I've never seen him put his hands on anybody. And to me, in my opinion, I think Jay Gruden would have been a better fit for that, and Keenan would have been better for the receivers, but that's hindsight now. So it is what it is. But I just say going forward, to me, that's one of the biggest glaring issues. You just don't start a business off with everybody being rookies.
Well, Daryl Bevel's not a rookie,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But rookie coach, rookie quarterback, I get it.
Okay.
You know, like those are the two big pieces there.
What if it had been, you know, name the guy? I mean, who was the guy that you were going to hire then?
There wasn't a bunch of experienced
guys.
Somebody's
retread. No. I mean, a lot of people loved Eric Bieniemy or the idea of it. That would have been a rookie head coach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, Urban's not a rookie head coach. He's a rookie to the National Football League. No question about it. Jake Gruden had his hands on way too much bad football here in Jacksonville. I don't mind. In fact, we advocated for Keenan McCardell to return. I wish I'd picked Keenan Allen in the Breakfast Bowl last week. But anyway, we had advocated for Keenan McCardell to return, but, you know, for whatever reason,
wasn't
going to
happen. I will say,
it didn't happen.
And this will sound a little bit crazy maybe to Jaguars fans, but I do think this would be a better football team right now if Doug Marrone was still the head coach. I do. I believe it. Like, I do think that he would be doing a better job than what we've seen from an organizational standpoint from Urban Meyer to this point this year. Not that I think he would be the long-term answer for the head coach
for
this
right
organization,
now,
but
saying,
for right
yeah.
now, yes,
and
I believe
that. By the way,
that.
If you had retained Jay Gruden after he coordinated a 1-15 offense, you would have lost your freaking mind.
Yeah.
Okay? This,
no doubt.
Come on. I mean, you can't. The architects of 1-15 do not get the opportunity to come back. And
oh yeah, it's
put
all
their
hindsight,
imprint.
Right? Like even the take I just had about the Doug Marrone thing—that's a hindsight thing.
Yeah,
you know, like we were talking about 2 years ago, it was time to move on from Doug Marrone. I'm not saying they shouldn't have moved on from Doug Marrone. What they're doing clearly isn't working in the moment.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, though, we got to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Reaction Monday. You know how it rolls here. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Running play, Carlos Hyde tries the right side into the end zone, touchdown. A short touchdown run by Carlos Hyde, and Jacksonville is in the end zone.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, there was our highlight package from the game yesterday. That was it. That's what you get right there. Carlos Hyde in the end zone.
It still existed, yeah. There was an end zone where the Jaguars could score on both ends of the field. There were end zones. They found the one. The other one's still waiting for the Jaguars to get there.
We had a little draft talk session on the break. Sorry, you can't participate yet.
We can do that.
Maybe soon. Maybe soon. Go Bills. Let's go. 641-1010 Reaction Monday. Keep them coming in. Steve out at the Intercoastal up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good talking to you.
What's up, bud?
Everybody agrees that we got no talent, and we are terrible at drafting. So the question to me is, why aren't we doing things about our analytics department and our scouts?
Well, I think they did switch it up this year.
They blew them all out,
I believe. Like last year with a new coach coming in, they didn't switch up the scouting department, but they did for this year. So that won't come into play, though, until this upcoming offseason, basically.
Right. Yeah, usually when you come in, you don't have time as a new head coach to put all the legwork into building a body of knowledge on all of these players. So you're stuck basically with – now, it's you as Urban Meyer, Trent Baalke, that have to take that information from the scouts and decide these are the players we believe in investing in. I mean, Urban Meyer is great – college connections, and I recruited so many of these guys and all this stuff. Well, you're in charge of everything, man. As far as I'm concerned, everything is at his feet. Because to my knowledge, he was put in charge of every aspect of this organization. So, you know, got to see results. I'm not going to blame it on the scouts. Yeah, if the scouts aren't good, mix it up. But generally, that's the standard practice in the NFL. When you come in, you'll switch them up after the draft. Because you just don't have time. And then they begin the process for the next year. So if Urban Meyer, let's say, were to get fired after this season, you're not going to get a whole new scouting staff making those picks next year or influencing those picks.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the same people that have been in place all year long.
Now, the pro scouting department, and I'm not even sure how all that technically works, but if they didn't have their pro scouts that were somewhere in that building saying, yes, we should be putting in a waiver claim on DeSean Jackson.
I mean,
yes, we should be putting in a waiver claim on Odell Beckham Jr. Like, if there wasn't even at least that level of discussion, I don't know if there was or wasn't. I have no idea. But there definitely should have been with the struggles they have at wide receiver right now, for sure.
And you can talk all you want about how they wouldn't want to come here. Tough. Then don't come here.
Yeah, then don't play. Yeah.
That's your choice.
Yeah.
Play for us or don't play if we claim you in the waiver process. Inexplicable.
But at least make the attempt.
Make the attempt. Especially DeSean Jackson. He had like a $3 million contract this year, and he was already half of it had been paid out. Was it going to wreck your cap for next year or anything like that? Nope. It would have injected one thing into your offense, speed.
Speed.
You didn't even have to throw him 8 times a game. Throw him 3 times a game, just have the threat that he could beat you deep.
That's basically what Vegas is doing.
Exactly what they're doing. Last week, it ended up he had 3 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. Not going to happen every week, but he does give you the threat that he can stretch the field and it can make life easier on everybody else. But that's all right. We'll keep running Laquon Treadwell out there in that role, I guess, or
tough
whatever
guy.
Role. There really is no role. I'm not picking on Laquon Treadwell. No. He's trying to get the most out of his talent. But, I mean, there's a team clearly lacking in it. You've got the number one waiver priority, and you're not using it. So
our tight ends are our shot guys. That's why.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
5 yards on
Go down there and sit down, and we'll take a shot at you.
We're going to take a shot at one of these 5-yard completions.
On their best DB.
Yeah.
I mean, just
didn't work.
Don't make it easier. Like, let's make it harder.
Right.
Let's
ramp up the degree of difficulty. Because then we'll feel better about ourselves.
Let's find a good matchup somewhere else. That's our best matchup, and we're going to take it. We're going to prove everybody wrong.
Caleb checking in from UNF next on Jaguars Today. Hello, Caleb.
Hey, guys. I got a quick comment and a quick question. My comment is I'm kind of glad that we didn't spend a ton of money in free agency last offseason, because I feel like now we know better what we need. Like, I don't think we would have ever thought receiver was a huge need at that point, but now we know we really need a proven top guy. So I'm glad that I'm hoping this season we really go after some big free agents. And my question is, given Coach Urban Meyer where he's at now, do you think with the new off season, the time to prepare with all the lessons learned, that he can kind of go about his preparation and the training and practices differently going into the season that will be different and better for us, like a reset, like a hard reset with him? Do you think that that's going to be good for us, or are you guys on the side that he's just not showing enough at this level and we may be looking more towards wanting to move on? Like, what are your guys' opinions there?
Let me see the next 5 games play out, but to think that, like, why would he all of a sudden at the end of the year go, okay, now I get it? Like, I thought he did the deep dive in the offseason, right? And then we're finding out steps along the way. He doesn't know what the hell's going on with his lead running back. You know, he didn't know what was going on with Miles Jack, or at least he may have known what was going on, but, you know, you needed to do another, quote, deep dive into Miles Jack, and was he more effective or not effective calling the signals defensively? Like, to me, show me evidence that he is learning something in the first 12 games and he's implementing it along the way, because I'm not seeing any of that right now.
I think that's the biggest problem, is because you would want to give a coach going into their second year a chance to get into the offseason, to be able to self-evaluate, to be able to really sit down and not be under the gun with his coaches and kind of really work through what they're doing and their philosophy and all the different things. You want to give a coach that opportunity. But, yeah, you're right. You got to see something happening during the year to where you can see and say, okay, they are evolving. We can see it. We can see them getting better. We can see, oh, they took a step back. That's okay. But they bounced back the next week. Like, you want to see those kind of things, not just a nosedive off a cliff and it just continues to fall. Like, you're not seeing any improvement from your offense especially. So I'm kind of on the fence where I'm like, let's give him the opportunity to get to the offseason, to get better players in here, to self-evaluate, to then get him into next season with a year under his belt, a year with the quarterback having a year under his belt as well, and then that real hard line of we've got to now truly see wins and losses and then how is this team performing.
Yeah, I think that's how it's going to go.
Yeah,
if you're asking me,
I hope so.
I don't think Sean Kahn's firing Urban Meyer after this year. I don't.
I really hope so. I would hate for Trevor to come in, have a whole new coaching staff, whole new offense, which he might have a new offense. You never know how that goes.
I would bet on that,
and that's okay because you can. He has an offense. He has an offseason already under his belt. Now he has another one. He's learning a new system, but that's okay. He's got a whole bunch of new players to. Shiny new weapons to throw the ball to, and I see him being able to handle that. But just a whole organizational turnover, I wouldn't like that.
All right, Mike in Jacksonville Beach next up here on Jaguars Today. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? I just want to comment. I get some out on the talent side of things. You go back and look at rookie quarterbacks in the past. You know, Stafford had Johnson. Manning had Marvin Jones and all those receivers. You go to even Kyler Murray, they got D-Hop for him. We don't have that. I mean, you know, nothing against Agnew, but he was brought here to be a kick returner. Before he got hurt, he was out there catching balls. Let's throw the Brinks truck. Let's take the Jalen Ramsey Brink truck to Davante Adams. Call Allen Robinson, tell him they got rid of all the people he hated. Godwin, bring in the guys who we know are proven mid-level talent. We don't have talent on this roster. And it's hard to judge coaching staff offensively when they just – is it the Jimmys or Joes or the X's and O's? You know, the defense, they're making strides. They're in every game until they get tired. So hopefully that's what we do, and I'll take your comments off there.
All right, here's what I'd say. Our Urban Meyer, again, is in charge of everything. He evaluated this roster, and they did bring in Marvin Jones Jr. this year, but that's what they decided they needed. They decided, let's get a guy like Philip Dorsett in here. And I mean, what? I mean, they kind of got they've gone after so many NFL retreads.
Yeah,
it's crazy. And so, look, we can all sit here and say throw the Brinks truck at anybody. First of all, we don't know if they're gonna get franchise tagged. It's pointless.
You have no idea who's actually gonna be a free agent.
Yep. And like, honestly, I mean, I get it. Money is attractive. You don't think Davante Adams is gonna get the Brinks truck backed up from any destination he goes to?
That's the major disappointment for me, is the only selling point right now it looks like you have in Jacksonville is we have money.
We have money, and we'll pay
like,
you more.
If I was a free agent player, I'm not looking at the program Urban Meyer's running in Jacksonville and saying, yeah, I want to be a part of that. What are they doing to Trevor Lawrence right now?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing as a free agent to be excited about when you're looking at Jacksonville, except they can pay me more than the other guy can.
Some guys that'll be enough for, Tony.
Yeah.
But if it's the difference
but
between,
that's the guys you're going to get. It's the guy that's chasing that money, which is fine.
I
hopefully
could get
they make plays.
$20 million a year and play with a Pro Bowl quarterback, or I can get $25 million a year and go to Jacksonville.
Yeah,
gonna, some guys will take the $25 million. Others will be like, well, damn.
Yeah.
Why would I do that? I've got a much better chance to win here, Dave.
And you were hoping that Trevor was also another reason why guys
Absolutely.
Would want to come, because
yes.
guys have seen him kind of trend throughout the year, and man, he is balling. They're not winning as much, but he is balling. He's not even balling. He's not even just being okay. At times, he's struggling just as much as everybody else. So that's another reason why a receiver, a high-end receiver, might say, eh, you know what? I might take a little less and go over here because I know I'm going to get 100 catches. Because their offensive line is going to protect for the quarterback, and he's going to get me the ball. So there's definitely more things than just throw money at everybody.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm not opposed to throwing some money
around.
I
would still throw some cash
to,
around.
Throw some cash.
They have to
get better.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we don't know. Like, do you bring back DJ Chark? What kind of market is there going to be for a guy who hasn't shown much in the last 2 years, you know?
I think if you can get him back on whatever kind of pay you can get him on, you've got to bring guys back that are familiar to this organization and to the even though he didn't get to play very long with Trevor because he was hurt a lot of the offseason and training camp, that kind of stuff. But I just hate the fact that we continue to lose guys all the time. Like, we don't – none of our guys re-sign and go on to flourish here in our organization. They go somewhere else and they flourish. So I don't want to lose him just because he's going – like, that's the same thing that happened with the other receiver that went to Chicago.
Allen Robinson.
Yeah, Allen Robinson. He got hurt, and everybody's like, oh, he's done, and he didn't even – they didn't even try. I don't even know if they tried to bring him back, but I just don't want to keep losing guys. Even if he comes back and he's just our third guy, because we got two really nice, you know, one drafted and one in free agency, I want to keep our guys.
All right.
The ones that are good.
Right. Understood. One more segment to go. If you want to get in, we'll try to squeeze a few more. We'll get some of your social media reaction as well. It is a reaction Monday. Jags fall 37-7 to the Rams. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, the question of the day, driven by Maserati Jacksonville. Come experience uncompromising luxury at Maserati Jacksonville.
Oh, man, you just wish we were taking the breaks to air right now. All we're talking about is the draft now on the breaks. We're so on the break.
I'm coming in tomorrow.
We're so on the break. Go Bills. Go Bills. All right. We're debating Thibodeau versus Hutchinson and what they should do. All right. Tony, if you would, give us a little sampling before we get back to these phone calls of the social media reaction we got to the Jags' performance yesterday.
Adam said, my wife said to me, why do you do this to yourself every week? I had no answer. Yeah, that's pretty much where we're at with this team. Mason said, I'm not super bummed because I expect to get blown out every time we travel out west, but wow, that was really hard to watch. From Meta World Crazy, it's a lot easier to be a successful coach when you can recruit the best players to play for you. Mm. Any respect I had for Urban as a head coach is gone. What exactly does he do besides throw his assistants under the bus? That's nice. From Bagsonville, the Jaguars performed as well as an 85-year-old man who forgot to take the blue pill. That's one way. From Bill, I guess James Robinson should have went to Ohio State so he can play more. Nothing this team does makes any sense.
Maybe if he had a better family.
Yeah, we are ruining the best quarterback to be drafted since Manning. I hate this team. And Alan, anyone who was surprised needs to take off those teal-colored glasses. This game was going to be a blowout the whole time. All right, we all knew it was going to be a blowout. Still embarrassed by it.
Yeah, I don't know why you have to just accept that the game will be a blowout, by the way. What does that tell you about what they've done with their first 11 opportunities this year that you've arrived to a point where you're just like, that game, forget it. You know, I mean, we thought that about the Buffalo game, and they actually responded in a positive fashion.
I got another one, too. So I was dropping my kids off this morning, and my 8-year-old little girl, I said,
is that a metaphor?
No. I said, hey, guys, Jaguars lost again. She said, what do you expect? That's what they do. I said,
from the mouth of babes.
You're right.
You've taken the children.
Yeah.
Now you've taken the children away.
I don't even want to talk to Aiden.
They have 1 year. They only have 1 year that she maybe would kind of remember. And then everything else her whole life has just been misery.
Yeah. Well, you can let little Aiden know that his boy – one, lost by going for a 2-point conversion when he shouldn't have. And the other one that's really his guy lost to a winless Detroit team. Handed them their first dub of the season.
He only won 2 games.
Thanks, Aiden. Let's get Kirk in St. Augustine next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning. Just quick side note, I get the same thing. My kids are always like, why do you watch them every Sunday?
Because we want them to be good. We remember when they were good. Anyway, go ahead, Kurt.
I know, it's painful. So quick question about Urban. I mean, you know, I didn't really follow him too much in college, but I know his reputation was taskmaster and, you know, into the details and burning the midnight oil. And he seems to be the exact opposite in Jacksonville. Like, what, like, do we feel like we have the same Urban Meyer, or is he trying to do something different? I mean, who is this guy?
Yeah, I do think, for me, and this is just me, because I'm not inside the mind of Urban Meyer, I think he tried to come into the NFL and not act like a know-it-all.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted to recognize that, hey, I'm coming into a different situation. I want to respect some of these guys. There is some difference in NFL football and the college game and some of the different things you do, but I think he is hurting himself in the court of public perception, Dave, by the comments he makes. You know, just some of the wide-eyed, like, oh, every week it's Alabama. Like, did you not know, like, this is the cream of the crop of the players that ever play college football? And things like, it's just like, he I don't think he is that disconnected. The guy can't be. He's not stupid, right? But he gives you the impression that he does not know what's going on with his football team, and he gives it to you repeatedly. And I think he needs a better PR person to begin with, because I think he is setting himself up for failure in the court of public opinion, because the reactions are just head-scratching.
And I think that's okay if it's, you know, the start of the season and you're trying to give your guys their space so they can do what they do. This is what they've done. They understand the NFL. Like, but as the season goes on, you got to start thinking, you know what? No, I've got to put more of my stamp on this thing because we're not winning. We're not progressing like we should. So I've got to now start to take over, do a little bit more micromanaging, know why you're – running back isn't in the ball game for three or four more drives. He has to evolve as the season evolves. And it just seems like he's real content with just continuing on the same old path.
I'm sure this isn't the case, but Tony, I feel like if you took Urban Meyer out of game day, nothing would change.
It feels
like,
that way.
Like you wouldn't even notice.
Would change.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that that's the case, but I don't know what impact these? I don't see, other than celebrating the rare good play. He loves to hug it out with the guys coming off the field, man. He's number one hug it out guy.
Yeah, well, a lot of coaches now you see with the call sheets and the play charts and all that kind of stuff, and they're talking behind.
Right,
the,
even if they're not calling all the plays, maybe they're saying, "Hey, remember this one we loved in practice this week? Yep. Are we gonna?"
How many times have you seen him go and sit with somebody and do that kind of stuff?
Watching coach take notes.
Yeah, you don't see any of that. Nothing. He just sits there with his hands on his knees, cheers like a fan, like everybody else.
He's got that pose locked in, though, man. I'll give him that. He's got ET's got it right there. There you go. The kind
he's
of,
got that's super. That's an
don't
intense look.
Take the children. You cannot take ET's enthusiasm, or we all revolt. All right. Let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Now the 2-minute drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet. Tire Outlet is now hiring. Visit TireOutlet.com/careers, equal opportunity employer.
All right, Joe Cowart's here. Joe, welcome to a wash, rinse, repeat Monday on Jaguars
Today. I just
looked
at ET. I'm like, okay, good form, but you got to drop your head right there at the end.
You do have to drop your head.
I did. And I
guarantee you, CBS, I guarantee you, CBS and Fox directors, like around the league, have said,
Get Urban.
Get Urban, but make sure you cut right after that. Yeah. Because they never want to show him doing anything.
Yeah.
They just want to see that.
And that may be the case. Like that, like I said, there's got to be something more that we're not privy to. But he is projecting an image every time he gets up there. Ask Bernie Parmalee. Like, what the hell, man? If James Robinson is too injured to play effectively or continuously throughout the game, why is he taking the final carries in a 30-point blowout?
You can't justify that to me.
Yeah,
he came out and he started the second half, too. So it's not like there was a concern at that point either. He started the second half.
Right, Rick Ballew said at one point he was literally doing calisthenics on the sideline, trying to run out to the field, and they waved him back. This is during like the 20-play stretch where he got punished for fumbling. Yet Carlos Hyde, who has a bad exchange with Trevor Lawrence and has another fumble, because he went to Ohio State. I mean, that's a perception the fans have.
Right.
I can't believe that Urban Meyer's that dumb.
Well, I think
that's the perception he's left fans
and
with.
I think what we wrestle with is it looks like he's not making any decisions, yet we're going to give him credit for making that decision. I have no idea whether he's making that decision.
Right.
It looks like that, though.
But
it does.
At some point, you would think that he would endeavor to figure out what the, you know, other than, ask that guy. It's his. What is your responsibility then? What should we ask you about?
The most damning thing you guys said just as I was walking in is, if he's not there, does anything change? And several weeks ago, I said, don't make me miss Doug Marrone. And Tony said it earlier. And I'm like, honestly, it would be a better.
Wouldn't this be the long-term answer.
Right, when this team was down the stretch and it had only won one game, they were 4 points or less in 4 of 5 games, including 2 overtimes. At the very least, they were that. And both teams had to deal with injuries.
Well, we have a great locker room.
It is pitiful right now. Pitiful.
Right. What do you guys have coming up today?
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, so beyond the Jags, which we will invite all Jaguar fans to join in, but Manny? Miami basically saying, mañana, you're not going to be here. Hello, Mario. You've got the college football playoff. Georgia really getting embarrassed by the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Whooped.
Embarrassed. And so we'll get into all that. You got many other college football storylines, including hires. So we're going to get into all that stuff. And
don't you dare lose to Michigan, Georgia.
Yeah.
or you will go down as one of the most fraudulent teams
in college
football history.
The beautiful thing is we got about a month to talk about it, and I feel like they're going to bounce back and look the part again, but boy, they are a wounded dog right now. The way they got embarrassed. They really are.
Mm-hmm. They are praying for Cincinnati to pull a miracle.
Yeah. They don't want to see no Bama again.
Don't think so. All right, Josie, have a good show.
Bye, man.
XL Primetime coming up. Mr. Garrard, what's your week looking like going ahead here?
Still doing some deep dives.
Yeah.
It's not on the Jags anymore. I've laid that to bed.
Check the tape with us at any point.
It's going to be all about the college kids coming out.
He's doing a deep dive into Aiden Hutchinson and Kayvon Thibodeau.
Oh, I thought you were going to go like in the ocean, go diving.
I'm going to do that too.
Scuba. Mm.
Next Sunday.
We got spots for scuba around here.
When the Jaguars kick off, I'll be in the ocean.
All right. Dave, always appreciate your service. Yes. Thanks for weighing in, as always.
Good times.
And we'll see you next Monday.
Looking for better times.
Yes, we all are looking for better times. You know, though, you're like, because when they win, Monday's the best.
Oh,
Monday's
I'm
the
all in.
Best day.
Everything
of the week.
I got on is Jaguar.
unfortunately, that's 2 out of 12. All right, that'll do it for us today. For David Garrard, Tony Smith, and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. Appreciate all of you out there still having the passion, anger, frustration, whatever it is. It beats apathy in my book every single time. We will check the tape with Jeff Lagerman tomorrow, and we'll continue to try to figure out how this Jaguar organization can improve for you, the Jaguar fans. XL Primetime up next on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go. Three.